Okay, continuing in our discussion about avoiding things that are not only outright lies, but things that could even give the appearance of being untrue. So we have to understand that there's multiple ways of conveying information. Speech, body language, sometimes even remaining silent. There's a Gemara in Shavuos and Lamed Aleph and Aleph that says if a person's quiet, it could somehow give a false impression. So for example, if let's say, we know in Beis Din, you have to bring two witnesses. So let's say, really, the person doesn't have two witnesses. He only has one. But he says, look, do me a favor. Come stand next to my one witness. You're not going to say anything. You'll be quiet the whole time. But it's going to give the impression as if I have two witnesses, even though you're not really going to testify. You're just coming along. So you didn't, did you do something wrong? The Gemara says, yeah. That's me, Davar Sheker Tirchak. The Gemara says in here in source number 2, Minayin the Talmud Yoshev Lifnei Rabo, the student is sitting in front of his teacher, he's the judge on the case, V'roz Zuchus La'ani V'chov La'asher, and he sees something that would help out the poor person, and it would obligate the rich one to pay. Minayin, from where do we know, Shlo Yishtok, that you cannot remain silent? Because look, you'll say, hey, I don't have to say this, I'll just be quiet, and I'm not going to, make the rich guy pay. Talmud Lomer, to correct that assumption, you're not allowed to do that, midavar sheker tirchak, that you have to distance yourself from falsehood. And that's the Sefer Chinuch we saw in Mitzvah Ayin Dalid, that says, mitzad harichuk behazriuso shalo nota azno deklal l'shum davar shenechshav shehu sheker. You can't even give any sort of netiyah, some sort of inclination, leaning towards that way if something will be false. Afal pish ein anu Yonim bibori shehi oso hadavar sheker, even though vori that's necessarily certain this person's telling a lie, one still has to avoid from that. Anything that smells wrong. That would be the best way to perhaps understand it. Now if you in Nidarim, we have a case where people, we say, Holchin Acher Loshen B'nei Adam, that we go after the way people speak. And the Radbaz explains that if we understand what a person means in that particular place, that particular time, that location, so we know it's not a lie. So a person's using a hyperbole or an exaggeration, it's obvious. As you say, like, you know, the whole community came out. No, it doesn't mean the whole community came out. It means a lot of people came. Or like, you know, the person's like as tall as a building. No, we know that's not what it means. It means these understand. That would not necessarily be considered to be lying per se. When could a person actually say something, a sheker? If there's an overall bigger picture. Now, this is very dangerous to say publicly, but you have to understand when lying is allowed and when it's not allowed to be told. So one example when you could tell a sheker, if you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. You know, if you're going to make up a completely fake story just to cheer up somebody who's not feeling well, and again, no one's harmed by that. It's a, you know, just make up like I got lost on the way over here or something like that. And that would be allowed to be doing. That's part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Another case where a person would be allowed to would be for Shalom Bayis. The Gemara in Yevamos on a Samech Heyamid Beis says, Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, Gadol HaShalom, look how great is Shalom, Sha'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo, even Hashem changes things around. The Meikara Kosev, originally, when the conversation between Abraham and Sarah, she said, Adoni Zakein, right? Sarah said, how in the world are we going to have a kid? My husband's so old, right? But now, Besof Ksiv, but in the end, when relating that story, it says, Va'ani Zakanti, I'm old, meaning they change it so that Avram wouldn't get hurt. Now, you have to see, let's just think of for a second. The Bali Moser point out in this Gemara, who was Avraham? I believe this is from the Rosh Yeshiva of the Leibowitz itself, from Chafetz Chaim said this word. That Avram Avinu was an old man, for sure. And you gotta imagine, when Avram Avinu walked down the street with his long gray beard, people stood out of respect for him. He knew he was old, he knew he was distinguished. But nevertheless, even the fact that his wife would use such a phrase, my husband is old, that could have just a little bit been painful. Even though he knew who he was, he knew his age, he knew his status. So in order to avoid just a little bit of discomfort, Hashem changed it. So you see that that's an idea of being Mishana, of changing the words to avoid anything. Okay, but obviously there's certain parameters for this. We know that Yosef did the same thing with his brothers. He made up a story that, you know, our father asked for chila, etc. And we know from Pirkei Avos with Aaron HaKohen that he would see two people who were arguing. Reuven and Shimon were talking to him. They say, Reuven, Shimon is so upset that you guys are fighting. He wants to make up with you. And then you go to Shimon and say, Shimon, Reuven's so upset that you guys are in a fight. He wants to make up with you. So each one thought that the other person was trying to make shalom. He would do it between husband and wife. That was Aram HaKohen was Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom. I was trying to make peace with them. Another case where one would be allowed to say something not true is to protect yourself from being taken advantage of. There's a mission in the Dharm, which discusses people who would try to, unfair tax others. So the Gemara says like this, it's a mission. Nodrin, lahargin, lahromin, lmoichsin. You could take a neder to either people going to try to kill you, for people who are self-appointed tax collectors, people who are robbing you, shitruma. You could tell the person that this food that you're trying to steal from me, it's truma. Afal pish ain't a truma. It's not really truma. But why would a person have it? So truma can only be eaten by a kohen. And since statistically there's not so many kohen as there are for Yisraelim, so truma food is not such a hot commodity. People aren't going to want it. So you say you have a whole truckload of apples, right? The guy want to rob you. The shipment is worth, I don't know, $50,000. So you tell the one who's mugging, look, this is truma apples. No one's going to buy this from you. You're going to, which is fascinating. The Rishon and the Rosh and others point out. So you see this person, this person who is willing to rob and steal and kill, but they're careful on kashrus. They don't want to eat something that they're not allowed to eat. Okay, that's a little bit of a skewed priorities, but the Rishonim already discussed this. The Rosh, the Tosos over there. But you're allowed to say this to them that it's truma, and they'll leave you alone, even though it's not truma. Or the Gemara says, Shehein shall base hamelech. You're allowed to tell them these belong to the king. They don't belong to the king, but no one's going to start up with the king. So you can lie in order to prevent them. So why are you allowed to do this? You know, there's an extreme school of philosophy that says you're never allowed to lie. For example, someone comes into your house. I'll give you an example. Reuven is being chased by Shimon. Shimon wants to kill Reuven. He's running after Reuven to kill him. And Reuven comes and hides in your house. And again, Reuven's innocent. Shimon just has a temper. He wants to kill him for no reason. So then Shimon comes to your door and says, excuse me, have you seen Reuven? Now Reuven really hiding downstairs in your basement. You say, well, I cannot tell a lie. Yes, Reuven's in my house, go in the basement, because I don't want to say anything shaggy. Of course you can tell shaggy. No, I haven't seen him. Of course you can lie in these circumstances to protect somebody who's trying to, illegally or illegitimately take your money or your property. The question is why? So on this, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky from the Sefer Titin Emes Yaakov, he explains that really what's going on here is that there's an overall goal of maintaining what is true and what is right and what is fair. And sometimes in order to maintain that correct balance, there needs to be a lie put in place. So for example, when Yaakov is dishonest, deceitful to his father Yitzchak, he explains why that is not a problem, because really he was deserving of it. So it says like this, Be'emes lamdeinu mikan yisod gadol b'mahus ha'ahava. From this we learn a very important rule in what the essence is of truth. L'halon, al ha'posek bo'achicha b'mirma, your brother came with, literally mirma means trickery, but the Targum, Unculus, translates as bechokhmah, so he came with wisdom to do it. Ubir hadavah, what does that mean that he came with chokhmah? Bir hadavah hu shegam ha'emes tricha shetayamer lifnei cheshbon. When you're saying the truth, it has to be said with a cheshbon, with a consideration, and figured out according to the accuracy of the situation. So the example we just gave, if someone's chasing to Reuven to come kill him, and you say, oh, I'm honest. No, that's not honesty. That's not called truth, right? This is from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Shehar lemashal im Reuven shehenir daf nitzchabe etzel Shimon v'shehar roidev mechapsho oimer Shimon roidev sheruvein nitzchabe etzlo meshum she'en roidev l'shakya ha'chi ze emes? You grow. Would you say, it's emes? And yes, he's hiding by me? No, it's not true. Ella v'adai shelefa'amim mutal adam hishtamesh b'derech ha'roma k'dei lahasig es mevukshos. Sometimes you're allowed to say things that are deceptive in order to get to the desired end. Again, this is not a license to lie whenever a person wants to, but within the context. V'hainu lefi haklal shel akish ispal. He's pata. I'm with a trickery person, you should be tricky. K'shubol yidei his modedus Imramai Misukan Misugo Shel Esav. When you're dealing with someone who belongs to the category of like Esav, Lefaim Ein Monus Lehishumush Biderech Harama Lehish Tatmus. That you're allowed to, be deceptive as well in order to prevent the wrong thing from happening. And that's what Rachav did when they were asked in the beginning of Perek Beis in Sefer Yoshua, have you seen the spies? And she says, no, she was telling the truth because there was no need for tshuva for that. So what are the conditions that are necessary in order to say something that's sheker? Number one, it has to be inconsequential. So for example, that idea we said when you get you told a person a story when you went to do Bikur Chol and you got lost on the way. The fact that you made up a fake story that you got lost and or Waze took you the wrong way or whatever it is, that doesn't bother. It doesn't harm anybody. A second condition that it has to be necessary is brought in Orchos Tzedikim in Shar Chav Beis. So when you are even allowed, you have to kind of minimize it. When you're allowed to, if you can do it without lying, it's much better to do that than having to tell a lie, right? You know, someone asks you, do you know this Gemara? Did you learn Maseches Bava Kama? Say, well, you did learn it, but you don't want to be a show off. Say, I know Bava Kama. Say, what do you think? Someone like me would know Bava Kama? So then that's better, right? If you could change the subject matter, then that's even better. Like, you don't want to brag about something. See, you could say, you know, the joke, I think, by the Rogachev, they say, you know, he says, have you learned Shas? He says, only half. So which half of Shas do you know? He says, well, whichever half you want. I think that's a story they bring down. But the Maisa, for simple people like us, we want to hide our level of knowledge so then we can answer in a way that's not true. Now, for this, when we're talking about it, the Yam Shel Shlomo brings down in Yevamos that this is only for an adult. A child can't do so at all because children are not necessarily mature enough to understand that there are certain situations when you can say something that's not 100% true. An adult, sophisticated and mature, can understand that certain situations might allow that. But he brings like this, V'nira davka debar shehu beikroy. This can only be happening if it's not like a consistent thing that happens. Aval shlicha shehu bein avi v'imo lo yeshana afilu mishne mishum shalom. Right? If something is doing something on a constant basis, then that's not allowed to. You can't always be doing this, but occasionally you would be allowed to it. But we don't want children to get in the habit of saying something that's false. My kids have a book. I think the Maggid stories for children or something like that, with this little boy who has his kartis. They don't have a kartis nowadays, the Ravkav, but back in the day when they had the kartis, so the boy has a card and he tries to get the bus driver, the Nahag, to punch the card. And he says, I did it already, go to the back. And the kid's sitting there crying. And the bus driver says, I can't understand why this little kid's crying on his bus. So he asks him, I can't, it's stealing. You know, I can't ride for free. I can't take from you. So that's a beautiful idea that how far the attribute of truth. Children at a young age are able to understand that and appreciate that. There's another story they tell of a boy was taking a taxi from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim, and in the back seat he was eating an orange, and as he was peeling the orange, he kept holding the orange peels in his hand, and the taxi driver was like, just throw it out the window. And he goes, I can't. He says, why not? Just throw it out the window, get rid of it. He says, no, because I learned the Gemara, and he learned Baba Basri, Baba Kama Hakani. He learned that's it's Mazik Rishus Rabim. You can't throw things out the car window, it's going to harm somebody. So this driver was so impressed by this little child with the tamimus, the sincerity, and how they were incorporating what they were learning. It made a major impression upon him. And that affected his lifestyle. He wanted to become more religious as well because he saw the simplicity and the sincerity within children. Just one last source on this. When we're talking about saying something that's not true, it can never be done in terms of halacha or changing. A person might think, I don't want to say what the halacha really is. I'm doing kiruv. I want to, you know, say it in a soft way. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily reveal all of the most complicated laws of Hilcha Shabbos the first time a person comes to your home to spend a Friday night meal. But you're not allowed to lie. He brings us this Gemara in Bava Kama, discusses that the Romans came and wanted to investigate the entire Torah. And they sent people to come learn the Torah through the Chachamim. And They said, we found everything in here that makes sense except for one halacha, talking about a shor re'ehu, that when an ox gores another, a non-Jew, again, if an ox gores a Jewish-owned ox, gores a non-Jewish ox, then there's a different tashlumen repayment than if the Jewish-owned ox would gore a Jewish animal. So these were the only things that they found a problem with. So the Romans were going to go back and report to the officials. So this could have created a mortal danger for the Jews. So why did they just change that halacha? Why didn't they lie to them and tell, oh, no, that's not really the halacha? So the Yom Shel Shlomo's Medayik says the reason why they didn't say a sheker is because you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to falsify what the Torah really does say. And the reason we can think about that works very well with the Ramban al HaTorah. The Ramban writes that the Torah is the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to change what the Torah says is Kabiyachu to change Hashem. And Hashem's Chosim, his seal, is one of Emes. So therefore, that's totally off limits. Certain things are allowed to be changed for the sake of Shalom, but one cannot lie about the details of a halacha, even if it is a case of a Sakana where your life is in danger.